This FPL season has definitely been go, go, go. A nonstop hustle all the time. Matches, deadlines, unexpected blank and double game weeks, on top of everything the real world has had in store. Sometimes you need a moment to turn off and hit reset. That's when you reach for Coors Light. It's made to chill. For me personally, supporting Fulham during this last year has been a true roller coaster ride. Honestly, when that Adama Traore goal flew past Areola in the 92nd minute of game week 31, the only thing that saved my mental state, the only thing that calmed my nerves, was cracking open a Coors Light. There's only one beer out there that's literally made to chill, and that's Coors Light. The mountains on the bottles and cans even turn blue when your beer is cold. That way, you always know when it's time to chill. When you need to hit reset, just open a Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment made to chill. And listen, everyone, summer is pretty much here. It's about to get hot in New York. An ice-cold Coors Light is such a perfect way for me to beat that summertime heat. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light and the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. And as always, celebrate.
Hail Cheaters, and welcome to the Always Cheating Fantasy Premier League Podcast. My name is Josh, and I'm here with Brandon. Brandon, how are you?
I'm actually scared out of my mind right now, Josh. I just came in from outside. It's Halloween the night we're recording this episode, and I saw some kids out there. They were dressed in costumes like they were FPL managers that captained Troy Deeney over the weekend.
So, Brandon, when we had our podcast last week, you had two free transfers, a real luxury, and you were going to bring in Joe Allen, you were going to bring in Troy Deeney, and you were going to captain Troy Deeney. How did that all work out?
All right, I have a confession to make, Josh. So last week when we were recording the podcast, I said, I'm bringing in Deeney and Joe Allen. At the time of the recording, Joe Allen had already gone up in price, and I knew I couldn't afford him.
Okay.
But I just wanted to, A, act to the listeners like I knew what I was doing, and B, kind of scare you going into the weekend that I was gonna have these two heavy hitters, Deeney and Allen.
Right, right.
So, yeah, as it turned out, I could not afford to bring Joe Allen in. I got Deeney in for my main man, Sam Vokes. And then I found myself crawling the forums in a drunken stupor on Friday night, and some kind young soul took me in on the Transfer Hub Facebook forum and said, hey, have a look at Darun on Middlesbrough. Or Middlesburger. He's 4.3 pounds, and looks like he's nailed on at the moment. And I chose – so I had this decision to make, and I'm interested to know what you would do in this situation, Josh. So
okay.
I had $4.8 million to spend on a fifth midfielder.
Okay.
Do you go with the logic of just go as cheap as possible with the expectation that you're just going to play this fifth midfielder this one week and then you're going to bury him for the rest of the season and you want as much money as possible? Or do you spend all the 4.8 to get somebody in like Conte, who you know is not a big FPL asset, but could, worst case scenario, get you 3 points?
I tend to have a fifth player who does not play that often. It's actually come back to haunt me a little bit this season, though, because I've had kind of an injury-riddled team, and there are times when I wish I did not have Darren Fletcher as my fifth midfielder, a player who I don't even know how he never gets. Like, this guy will never pick up more than 2 points, or I guess 3 points if he gets a clean sheet bonus. I mean, is he not even on corner kicks? Like, somehow, you know, Etienne Capoue scored like 5 goals in a row as a defensive midfielder. And, you know, Joe Allen is like scoring like, you know, he's getting like a hat trick every match now. You'd think that at some point Fletcher would have this kind of run.
He is like the ghostly Gareth Barry. He's got his like sunken eyes. And I understand the man was very sick for a long period of time. And it's like a minor miracle that he's back playing in the Premier League. But he's a ghostly FPL asset.
I mean, I can't remember ever actually seeing him kick the ball in the match. It's like every time he touches the ball, he's off screen somehow.
He's just there on the field to legislate with the referee whenever there's a dead ball.
Yeah, I think in general it does behoove you to have a. I mean, I think a lot of managers are actually lucky this year because they brought in Kapua as their fifth midfielder, and I know he hasn't really done anything the last several weeks, but for a long time there, he had a 4.5 million guy who you were happy to start, you know, most game weeks.
So this is the true insanity. I bring in Darun, and suddenly that promotes Kapu to my fourth midfielder, which Kapu is already like, you shouldn't even have him in your team at this point. I'm definitely dreaming of winter wild cards right now. But
it feels like this feels like the season of the like hidden injury. Yeah, like twice. I mean, so Darun was injured on Saturday. No one knew about it. Valencia had a broken arm, which nobody knew about, as far as I'm concerned. There was no talk anywhere that I saw that Antonio Valencia had broken his arm.
It's a broken arm. I feel like people would notice a broken arm, like some inside mole or just a general journalist or a Joe Schmo walking down the sidewalk.
Yeah, I mean, were they so concerned that Burnley would like figure them out if they announced the broken arm of Antonio Valencia, that they had to keep it, you know, absolutely. I mean, this is like, I don't know, like it was a huge cover up. Like all of Manchester United was apparently involved in this.
So how many theories are out there that Jose Mourinho just broke Valencia's arm in a rage in the locker room?
Yeah, like as like the hairdryer treatment gone too far.
Exactly, like Jose just turns into Steven Seagal all of a sudden and gives Valencia's compound fracture in his forearm.
All right, so Brandon, that's enough. That's enough Mourinho talk. That's enough off-topic conversation.
Hey, so the Darun thing really ended up screwing me in the end, Josh, because we ended up tying in our 50-buck cup at 64 points apiece. So the fact that I got no minutes from the midfielder I drafted in just screwed my game week. The only good thing I did was captain Sergio Aguero.
Yeah, I mean it's one of those game weeks where, you know, I kept in Lukaku, which turned out okay in the end. I mean, considering how bad it looked, on Saturday night. But yeah, it's one of those game weeks where you get, you know, goal and assist from your captain. You know, I got two goals and assist from Aguero. I got goal from Firmino. I got two assists from Coutinho. And somehow the week still feels like a massive disappointment at 64 points, which is, you know, a little like I have a green arrow, but it's not a very big one right now. And, it's just kind of it's been kind of a frustrating season. And I know a lot of people feel the same way. I'm seeing a lot of agita right now on the Twitters. Are you seeing this agita, Brandon?
Oh yes, without a doubt. I mean, there are more meltdowns of the week on a week on week basis, and there's a general feeling for me, and it's tough because we put ourselves in a position where we like to help people out with their teams, but everything seems a lot like a lottery at the moment, and I then started thinking about, well, lotteries aren't meant to be bad. Like, lotteries make so much money for our governments. Like, people love playing the lottery. The lottery is a lot of fun. So maybe that makes the metaphor apt, but I guess that also means we should be having more fun.
We should be having – this is fun. The podcast is fun. The way I see it, you know, if you go – you know, if you learn from a tennis coach, you know, sometimes that, you know, tennis coaches coaching a high school player is even better than the guy that he's coaching is better than the actual tennis coach. But the tennis coach can talk through decisions, and they can talk about the psychology, and they can talk about, you know, it's like making a game plan, and they can do all this stuff, even if they can't execute on the field. And sometimes I think that's, I mean, not that I think we're, you know, we're both very serious, good players, but I think sometimes what we do in this podcast well is we just talk everything through, you know, we walk through the decisions, you know, and at the end of it, you know, we don't really know if Aguero is a better choice than, you know, Sanchez for a game week. It's very hard to tell, you know, like you don't know that the ball is going to fall to Aguero, you know, because, you know, Sunderland's going to completely collapse in like a 10-minute stretch in the 70th minute of a match. You know, I mean, these things can't really be predicted, but you can sort of talk.
I was kicking myself that we weren't the podcast that just changed our name to Gundogan FPL Weekly. Then we really would have drawn in the listeners, I think.
Yeah, yeah. So James Drury says, how much time do you feel you waste on average game week checking your team and your score? And then Aiden Green chimed in and said, and your opponent's scores?
And I know Aiden chimed in because James and Aiden were locked in Mortal Kombat in our AC Showstoppers head-to-head league over the weekend. First and second place battling. And I think Aiden pulled it out with Joe Allen.
Yep, he did.
How much time do I waste? I'll tell you this. If I'm having a terrible week, I waste like no time because I don't even want to open up the app on my phone.
Seriously.
If I'm having a great week, yeah, like no one can even get my attention or hold my attention for more than 30 seconds.
That's so true. God, if I have a great week, I listen to every podcast that's out there. I'll listen to like nine soccer podcasts, a bunch of FPL podcasts. I'll read a million articles. It's like being good like actually makes me like I keep getting better as a result of it, you know, like it makes me more excited.
It's true. And, the Football Weekly podcast popped up on my phone this morning and I was like, I know exactly what they're going to say about everything. I can't listen to this crap.
Yeah, exactly. So I feel like when it's going bad, it's hard for me to read any articles about it. It's hard for me to really focus on the game. Yeah, you just got to find something, you know, and almost any – this is why it's useful to be in like a million different leagues. Yeah. I'm in the New York Football Factory League. This huge bar, this kind of network of bars in New York, and I am somehow number one overall in that league.
Are you still undefeated?
I think I'm 9-1-0 or something like that. I think I have like one draw, but I'm otherwise undefeated, and yeah, it's awesome. So like I've got that going on. I'm beating I'm winning our 50 buck cup. You know, so you just got to like break these things. You got to find something to enjoy. Maybe you're not going to win your mini league, but you can win a head to head league. Or maybe you know, in game week 18, you like pick a friend and you guys start your own little 50 buck cup or something. You know, just yeah, there's always something.
Here's a fun little competition. Actually field a full 11. That's going to be my new fun thing to do. Actually manage to get 11 players into my FPL squad in a game week.
So we had an interesting week. It was an interesting week overall. It was a pretty high scores, I'd say, in general. I mean, it's the kind of week where you could actually crack 100 points, which is usually – given that there was no player who had an Aguero cap, you know, five-goal performance, it's kind of impressive that some managers were able to do this.
And one of those managers was actually in the Hail Cheater Super League.
Yeah, so let's get right to it.
Okay, so I'll run through the top 10 here real quick. Okay, so in first place in the Hail Cheater Super League, it's Mitch Maynard, our Photoshop extraordinaire. Josh, you just posted a new Photoshop from Mitch on our Facebook page at facebook.com/alwayscheating. Can you describe it for us?
It's actually kind of hard to describe. It's fascinating and kind of disturbing at the same time. It's appropriate for Halloween. Yes. I recommend that you go to facebook.com/alwayscheating and check it out for yourself.
All right. So congratulations to Mitch. Still at first place, 83 points on the game week, 622 total points. Second place, it's A-team Arshan Batwala, 80 points on the game week. In third, Heaton me for Mignolet. It's William Sutton's team, and he scores the biggest point haul at 113 points.
That's extraordinary. Well done, Will.
Truly extraordinary. Let me just take you through this real quick. Heaton in goal, Williams and Stones clean sheets, Captain Sanchez, Joe Allen, Coutinho, Firmino. In the front, he's got Defoe, Lukaku, and Aguero. So that's just a huge, huge game week. Fourth place, David Fellheim, the Cuddly Koalas, 71 points this game week. Fifth place, Lamella's Gloves, James Slauson. I think that's a new entry for us.
Yeah, I think you're right. I don't remember a Slauson.
I don't remember Lamella's Gloves, but I know he is a dainty player and can't have his digits his digits be cold. All right, so that's 92 points on the game week for James Slauson. Sixth place, it's Kem Vardar Derbatilis. I know this is a skin condition you continue to struggle with.
Yeah, one day I'll beat it, Brandon.
All right, seventh place, Sound of the Pulis. That's Ryan Dale's wonderfully named team. 88 points on the game week. Eighth place, Raj Athwal, Raj and their club. 93 points in the game week. Well done, Raj. And we have a three-way tie for ninth place, which fills out our top 10. This is kind of incredible. Fabio Borges, great-grandson of the legendary writer, Jorge Luis Borges. Is that right? Jorge Luis?
Yeah, I believe so.
incredible to have the kin of Borges in our top 10. Clichy's clean sheets there, 87 points on the game week. Also tied at 10th place, Cordoba FC. Fahad El Takar squad, 75 points on the game week. And rounding out the top 10, Onion Baggers, Jamie Robinson's team. Big well 97 points.
New entry in the top 10, I believe.
Another new entry. And it bears mentioning also all three of those managers in ninth place have 600 points. And guest co-host of the Always Cheating podcast, Ben Madison, Thierry Henry, he's in 12th place now, also on 600 points. So there, Ben is representing where we ought to be as actual hosts of Always Cheating.
Well, let's hope he doesn't get his own podcast.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see about that. All right, so we'd had those are the managers that are doing well. Were there any managers that did especially poorly and had a meltdown on social media?
Well, we didn't really have any good Meltdown of the Week nominees this week. I think a lot of people did perform pretty well in general. I mean, even with 64 points, I mean, I'm pretty disappointed. I mean, really, it just came down to Friday morning when I found out that Nacho Monreal and Theo Walcott, my two Arsenal players, are both not going to be playing on Saturday, which meant that my transfer that was going to replace Antonio with Coutinho ended up becoming a Walcott to Coutinho move instead. And, and then I ended up picking up 1 point from Antonio. And, you know, I guess I'll have the mini meltdown of the week. And
it was really right now, Josh.
I am having it right now. Well, I had captained, it's kind of, you know, it's, I don't know. Why is it a meltdown? I don't know what it is exactly. It's more of a,
we're just talking. All right. It's not a meltdown so much as you're laying down on the couch and I'm sitting here studying you. And
got a cold compress on my forehead.
Yeah, exactly.
So Sergio Aguero has been like in and out of the lineup for Manchester City the last few weeks. He has been, you know, trying to track back more, trying to become more of a two-way player, you know, as fits Pep's team. And as a result of that, he's been racking up yellow cards. He's been missing penalty. I don't know if missing penalties has anything to do with it. Maybe he's exhausted when he finally gets the penalty. He's been not a particularly lethal striker, and just hasn't been playing very well in general. And this has been true for several weeks now. So naturally, because he's a great player, he finally turns it around away to a pretty good defense in West Brom. I mean, West Brom is not an especially good team, but the kind of team that can frustrate good opposition. They've done it many times before. So when Aguero starts raining in these goals on Saturday morning,
classic Aguero goals too, like through the five hole, a postage stamp, just unstoppable goal.
Yeah, and I've got Aguero on my team. I mean, you know, you captain him, but I was still fine with it. I had the cock of the next day. But people, there was like a weird, like, revenge meltdown on Twitter or something where people were yelling at other people. Not even like they were just yelling into the sky. It wasn't like they were like adding people. And they're just like, if you didn't captain Aguero, you should be ashamed of yourself. If you dropped Aguero this week, you make me sick. And it was just going on like this. And I was like, who are you even mad at? It's like, you're so proud of yourself for stubbornly sticking with Aguero week in and week out. I mean,
same people that we talk about who have the really low res screen grab of Aguero triple captain as their Twitter header.
Right, exactly. And like, it's not like, I mean, I certainly debated, you know, captaining Aguero this game week. He was my vice captain. I went with Lukaku instead because I just like that home fixture to West Ham, but I don't know. When things go well for me, my inclination is not to start yelling at other people, you know. And it was just and I guess I'm just
when
turning
things go well for me, my first instinct is to just sit, and just self satisfaction. I don't have to share it with anybody. It's all about me in that situation. Yeah.
And it was just, I guess it made me feel like I was 100 years old, or like because I was just watching this, like I felt like a sociologist or something. And I wasn't even like part of, I was just like, what is going on? Why is there like a meltdown going on about how well that Aguero's doing? And the meltdown is like people yelling at other people about not having him on their team or something. It was just very strange.
It's just troll culture. You don't spend enough time online, or you need to play more video games, Josh. Like
I guess I do.
There's a whole lot of people out there that's just how they get their yayas, and that's
I know.
Well, that's what it is.
They're Trump supporters. It's fine.
Exactly. All right. Well, not really a meltdown, but speaking of things being in the downward trajectory, as in being thrown down, Andy Lakeman on Twitter asks, "Who will be thrown down the bleach well today, boys?" Now, I don't recall if you guys remember last week, which we were talking about the bleach well in which Johan Caballé was thrown down, and which I guess, like in hindsight, Caballé's hair isn't so much bleached like the likes of Messi and Arnautovic,
right?
But it's blonder. Like, is it just me? Did you watch any of that Palace game? Like, his hair is a different color, and it's not quite. It's kind of like his wife said, "You don't need to go to the stylist and get that bleach thing. Like, I can do it myself here at home."
Yeah, it's like it's a homemade like Vegeta from Dragon Ball Z or something. It doesn't quite work for me, but you know that's fine. If that's what he's French, you know, he probably knows more about style than I'll. He's forgotten more about style than I'll ever know, Brandon.
It's true, but I mean, I think this week game week was a good reminder for everyone who forgot about what Aaron Ramsey did to his head before the Euros. And he's still hanging on to a little bit of that bleach blonde hair, and he was letting it glow on international television over the weekend.
I'm convinced that something happened with Aaron Ramsey. When Aaron Ramsey dyed his hair, he transferred his essence over to Joe Allen.
And so is this a new theory? Like, so it used to be whenever Aaron Ramsey scored a goal, somebody dyed, and. Yeah. Oh, so instead of somebody being dyed, his hair was dyed, which cast a whole new spell, like what you're saying, and it passed the curse to Joe Allen. Now somebody needs to get on the internet and find out if anyone has been dying because of Joe Allen goals.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, I think you've finally nailed it, Brandon.
We cracked the case.
Yeah.
All right, Josh, enough of this nonsense. Let's just take a quick break, reset. We're going to come back and have a real discussion about the team du jour, Chelsea.
All right. Same old podcast, always cheating. Brandon, there's a club that we have not talked about nearly enough on this podcast over the first 9-10 weeks of the season. And I think there's a lot of bias based on how they played last year and how disappointing they were for so many fantasy managers, and that is Chelsea Football Club, or Chelsea FC, if you will.
Yeah, no, I think this was the weekend in which the curse of last season, or at least the lingering doubts caused by last season, were broken. Now everyone's legitimately talking about Chelsea as. I don't think anyone's talking about them as title contenders at this point, but as far as fantasy assets go, it's totally legit. Like we all got minor burns from Hazard early this season, as you know, both you and I had him when he sort of looked like he was going to come back into form, and then he fell away again. But now it looks like we're getting to a place where Chelsea is not going to. Is not going to fail.
I don't know. I think you actually can go ahead and call them title contenders at this point. I mean, given how they played against Man United and then on the road to Southampton, I mean, the Southampton team that gave Manchester City all kinds of trouble last week, and they throttled them. I mean, granted, I think that Chelsea is a team that was uniquely well positioned to take advantage of the defensive problems that Southampton are struggling with right now. I mean, I just think that they're really they brought back an out of form Ryan Bertrand this game week, but he really wasn't ready to play. Cuca Martina is not the answer, and but you know, Chelsea looked really good this game week, and you know, two players in particular. Well, okay, so two attacking players, and then kind of the whole defense looked really good. And
they're basically like the most well-rounded team in the league, as far as I can tell at the moment, from front to back and in the midfield. Like, you look at other title contenders, quote, like Liverpool or Manchester City, those teams are both really struggling with defense, even though their midfield and their attackers seem to be in line. And then there's Arsenal, that they're really quality, but there is a flaky element in every spot in that field for Arsenal. And then you have Chelsea, and they look super organized and all over the pitch.
So what about that? The move to the 3-5-2 formation seems to have brought the best in everybody. I mean, Gary Cahill suddenly looks good. David Luiz is I don't know if he's really – I don't know if I've seen a lot from Luis, but he certainly hasn't been making Luis-type mistakes, right?
It looks like Luis wasn't – he was brought in on purpose. Like, he wasn't brought in as an alternate or a second-choice central defender. Yeah.
And then you got Victor Moses, who looks fantastic, along with two defenders who we wanted to highlight here a little bit in particular, Cesar Azpilicueta and Marcus Alonso. Now, Brandon, you pulled a little bit of data on these two players.
I did talk about
that a little bit.
Yeah, I did a stats comparison of both of these guys side by side on Fantasy Football Scout, which, you know, you don't need me to do that for you, assuming you have a membership. But what was really striking when you compared the two of these guys, because I think if you're looking at the Chelsea defense, Azpilicueta and Alonso are the two most appealing options right now. I mean, for one, Azpilicueta has gotten bonus points in all four of the last four matches for Chelsea. I mean, granted, it's one bonus, and then two bonuses against Southampton over the weekend. But then there's Alonso, who in the last four matches, he's played 90 minutes in all of them, but hasn't received a single bonus point. However, if you compare these guys' stats side by side, Alonso comes ahead just slightly, and it's all because of goal threat. So if you compare things like touches in the penalty area, Azpilicueta hasn't had any in the last 4 weeks, whereas Alonso has had 12. And then you look at goal attempts, you've got 7 from Alonso. It's 0 from Aspie. Goal attempts in the box, 0 from Aspie. Headed goal attempts, 0. Even Alonso has 1 headed goal attempt. The way I read this is Alonso looks like he probably has a goal coming to him, you know, in the next month or
assist.
Two.
Yeah.
A goal or an assist, whereas Azpilicueta is sort of nailed for BPS at the moment, the way he's playing. So right. It becomes a decision.
And we know he has assists and goals, at least assists in him. You know,
yeah,
just give
no, it's, that's not to say that Dave won't assists. Get them either. He does get forward out. He does get down that wing. So the striking thing to me is Azpilicueta's bonus point output. But the fact is Alonso is just a huge differential at this point.
Yeah, and it's still too early to really get too down the road with differential talk. But I mean, I know that there are already some managers who are looking at who are staring on the barrel of a 100-point deficit in their mini league, and that's if you're facing 100 points down. I mean, you can already it's a cash league, or you need to start finding some differentials.
It sounds like you're asking for a friend here, Josh.
Well, or maybe you're just Alonso is literally 1/10 of a million cheaper. Maybe you just all you have is 5.9 million to bring in a player. I mean, it's a dilemma that it doesn't seem like it would happen, but it happens to all of us all the time.
This is the difference between Joe Allen.
Yeah, and for me it was Montreal instead of Koscielny a couple of weeks ago. A situation that continues to hurt me. I think if that were the case, I would feel. I guess that. My takeaway from this, Brandon, is that either one is a player worth owning, right?
Yeah, I mean, Azpilicueta only has 11.3% ownership, so that's not low. But I look at our mini league, and there are still virtually no one in our mini league of 20 managers has a Chelsea defender. So I think if you get on board with Azpilicueta even now, he will still help you run up the ranks. But still, yeah. Marcus Alonso, 0.6% ownership, so thereby definition of differential.
Yeah, I agree. So, and if this were game week 34, I think we'd be all in on Alonso.
Right.
Because we're going into game week 11. You know, I mean, you still even if you're down 100 points, I mean, you got 28 weeks to go. You know, a ton of time. It's probably safer just to go with Azpilicueta.
Okay, so that's defense. What about attacking options?
Yeah. So, defense, the kind of the impetus for this whole conversation, just to credit him, was Anders on Twitter, who said Chelsea has 4 clean sheets back to back. Best pick out of their squad is it Alonso? And I think that I think we'd kind of settle on Azpilicueta there. So anyway, on to the attack. El Magico on Twitter says, Josh, will you consider Hazard, or is it a no-go after letting you down so many times last season?
Josh, do we have a go or a no-go on Hazard?
Well, it's a probable go, and
that is not how NASA launches space shuttles.
Well, let me explain my dilemma to you. I really want to get rid of Raheem Sterling. I hate that I still have him on my team. I've been wanting to get rid of him for a while now, but the fixtures have been too good.
He's really faded away. It's incredible.
He actually looked okay in the match over the weekend. I mean, he stung the keeper's palms a couple times, and Ben Foster kind of saved his best for Raheem Sterling. Mm-hmm. But and also Nolito kept getting in the way of balls, which is really annoying too. I think he would have had like a goal or an assist if Nolito hadn't like gotten his head in the way.
So if this is like an 80s high school movie, like Karate Kid, where there's a bad guy, Nolito is definitely guy who hangs out with the major bully.
He's got the total like Diego Costa in 2015 playbook going right now. So Sterling, Man City are home to Middlesbrough next weekend. And Chelsea host Everton at home. So do I stick with Sterling at home to Middlesbrough, or do I move over to Hazard and kind of ride the hot hand, informed player?
Oh,
it's a really tough call.
I don't know if it's a tough call. I mean, this is getting a bit into the weeds with your team, but you also have an Antonio-sized problem in your midfield.
I do, but I can't afford to turn Antonio into Hazard. And Hazard is the move I really want to make right now because I'm already doubled up on Liverpool. I've got Coutinho and Firmino.
I'm about to incept you with something that's going to haunt your dreams for the rest of the week.
Okay.
Antonio to Victor Moses.
No, I don't trust. I mean, Moses. I mean, I like Moses, and I like.
I can hear it in your voice. You're kind of like, well, I don't know, maybe.
Yeah, he's 5.5 million. He started the last four matches. He's had two goals and one assist on the season. I think my dilemma will resolve itself because if Raheem Sterling plays the full 90 to Barcelona in the Champions League this week, I don't think that he will start at home to Middlesbrough on the weekend. I think he started quite a few matches coming out of the last international break. He's going to be away to play for England. I'm sure he will, unless they invent some injury for him. So I think that is a real...
Middlesbrough is a match that Jesus Navas was born to play in.
I mean, you could see Aguero get bench for that match, just to inject a little fear in everybody's minds. Right? I mean, couldn't he be? I mean, I know that Argentina's, they're battling for a World Cup spot. After this game week, you've got, two international games in South America. They're going to be coming off a Barcelona match where Pep has already said that Aguero is going to start that match. They're home to Middlesbrough. I mean, he might just put the pedal to the metal, Pep, but he might also think, okay, why even risk Aguero for this match? Let's just rest him or give him 30 minutes because he's about to go play, probably the full 90 twice overseas.
Josh, the only scarier thing you could tell our listeners was that FBI Director James Comey just opened up a case against Sergio Aguero.
Yeah, seriously. I like the way that we're just injecting political stuff. I mean, we're so close to it right now, and I'm so mad at so many different people. I mean, there's like I'm mad at Comey. I'm mad at Anthony Weiner. It's everybody. I'm mad at like everybody right now.
It is truly hilarious. Yeah, let's not even get into that. Let's not talk about Anthony Weiner. Let's talk about Matic. So Matic is somebody who's popping up in that discussion that I was having last week about that borderline fourth, fifth midfielder. He's at 5.0 and he's currently on 5 assists this season, which is, I think we joked about this last week. If we had to guess how many assists Matic was on, and I think I said 0 and you said 1 or something like this. He's on 5 assists.
Yeah.
5 million nailed on midfielder in the form team. Is that a guy that maybe you consider? That's not really considered coverage for Chelsea, though.
It isn't. I wonder if Conte is a player who might even be more interesting because he was so highly owned at the start of the season that because everybody's dropped him now, he's still owned by 14.5% of managers. But I bet like 2/3 of those are dead teams.
Yeah.
And if you look at his history, I mean, he only has one goal on the season, but I think in this 3-5-2 formation, there's a little more space for him to
He's been getting forward a lot. The problem with him is he just can't shoot, and that was a testament to how terrible Manchester United were against Chelsea, that Conte basically just walked that ball into the goal.
I kind of like Conte at 4.8 million. I mean, that is not a bad, like, especially if you have the self-control not to start him and really only play him when the fixtures are fantastic, yeah. Then I think he might be an interesting option.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree. I also would go Conte over Matic at this point. It does save you a little bit of money, and Conte does have he's just got a little more pizzazz.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that I think Hazard is going to come in. I think I'm going to drop Sterling. It's probably going to come back to haunt me, but whatever.
Could Hazard really bite you three times in the space of a year?
Yeah. Well, it's possible. I mean, I did get a goal and like three bonus points from him earlier in the season, so it hasn't been a complete disaster. We'll see. And Antonio is a player I think I actually probably want to keep now, because this Stoke team is now like they have like three injured players. So Arnautovic picked up his fifth yellow, so he can't play over the weekend. Shaqiri is now an injury doubt. Jeff Cameron can't play. I mean, that's a match where West Ham could score like four goals.
Yeah, it's true. I'm curious to see how losing Arnautovic changes the impact of Joe Allen. I don't know if it's anything to really get scared about if you're a Joe Allen owner. But
I want to see a two man strike force next week. I want it to be Peter Crouch and Joe Allen leading the line, fire and ice. <It's> gonna... I want Joe Allen to actually ride on Peter Crouch's shoulders.
Wow, that would be incredible. Sort of like he was Riders of the Rohan, just like heading into battle, just like with just this like screaming battle cry.
So we talked about Costa, Hazard, Matic. Pedro? What do you think about Pedro? He's 7.1 million. He's kind of in a weird price.
I'm still not convinced that Pedro has taken that position away from Willian yet, though. The pace at which Chelsea seems to play on the break does suit a guy like Pedro. Seems to have the mind that suits Conte's system. However, Willian is undoubtedly a more gifted footballer. So I guess that's sort of like some cognitive dissonance that's happening there for me.
Yeah. I mean, given how they're playing, they probably stick with the form, like with the rotation they've got right now. But
one would guess, and I could see how it makes sense, where Pedro now starts and they try to bang in the goals that they need. And then Willian is the 65th minute substitution that helps become more metronomic and sort of settle the possession down a bit.
And this is like not really a fantasy issue, but you know, it speaks to the depth that you were talking about earlier. They have Oscar and Willian now on the bench. I mean, that's a real luxury to have players that talented on the bench. I mean, say what you will about Oscar, but Oscar does a lot of great things on the pitch. You know, I mean, he can't really shoot, but you know, he can do everything else.
Hey, Oscar, the MLS is calling your name. Stop dicking around on Chelsea and come play with Kaká at Orlando City FC. You know,
I was
going to
say Chicago Fire, either one, do it, make it happen.
I'm a little bullish on Victor Moses right now. I think he's got more goals in him in the next couple of months, and I think he's just getting started. 5.5. That is, I'd have to choose between Gundogan and Victor Moses. Okay, there's a question I'll pitch to you, Josh. So I'm going to move Kapu out and free up a little bit of money, and I need to find a solid fourth midfielder so Darun doesn't get any ideas on my squad. Uh-huh. Victor Moses or Gundogan?
God, that is a great question. That's a really good question. I think it's a very tough call. I feel like we've had this conversation a lot on the podcast this season, which is that, you know, these players who have been very inconsistent for their Premier League careers have been in these really good runs of form this season. We've seen it with Joe Allen and with Etienne Capoue, and just players who, I mean, now granted, those players are defensive players and Moses tends to be an attacker, but Victor Moses has never, I mean, going back to his time at Wigan, Victor Moses, and then the endless loans, right? I mean, from Wigan to you know, he played for Liverpool
Stoke City,
for a while, Stoke City, all over the place, and he's never really been a consistent performer. And you know, could it just be that he, you know, never really clicked with a team as talented as Chelsea? I mean, when you're a team like that, you know, opportunities are going to present themselves that aren't otherwise available when you're like, you know, really being, I mean, like when he was at the, that was the kind of the bad times with Rodgers, you know, where that Liverpool team was not clicking at all.
Yeah.
So I think that, I feel like I'm not as convinced on him. And I feel like Gundogan is maybe a little more interesting to me. And that could just be because I've seen so much Man City the last few game weeks. And I just love how well he seems to fit in.
Don't you
system,
see
right?
Gundogan filling it? He's sort of like the new David Silva on that team. Silva seems to be fading away. And even though Gundogan is meant to be a little deeper lying, he's darting into the box. He's a bit central.
I don't expect a lot of goals from Gundogan, but I think that he could pick up quite a few assists over the season. And I don't know, as a fourth, you know, as a fourth midfielder, it's not a bad option. I mean, he's kind of maybe until Snodgrass gets healthy. I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure that you're going to have Gundogan for 30 weeks or whatever, 28 weeks. But I think that I don't know. I mean, you know, it's a pretty kind run of fixtures coming up for Man City. I guess the concern there, there's always a little bit of a rotation risk with him. You know,
yeah,
I mean,
his minutes are a bit of a concern.
Yeah. And sometimes with a fourth midfielder, you want someone like Snodgrass. I mean, I know he's injured right now, but when healthy, you want a guy who's going to play every single game week because they just don't have the depth not to play him.
Right.
Because I don't want Fletcher getting close to the pitch ever. Right. Like that's like a guaranteed 2 points.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a tricky one. I mean, but Moses could be the same way. I mean, do we really know that Moses is going to start every game week? I don't think so.
Yeah. All right. We're about to move on and tackle a lot of other questions here. But before we do, I'm not satisfied with our Costa talk.
Okay.
So let's just settle this once and for all for our listeners. So Diego Costa is sort of like flaunted this yellow card tightrope for now, I think, 4 game weeks.
Yeah.
And he's continuing to score goals and play exceptionally well. And he's playing positive football as opposed to his enlisting his dark arts.
Yeah. I feel kind of – I don't know what to do about Costa. You know,
yeah,
I mean,
his,
I just
– his price is prohibitive at this point because now we've already sort of built our teams around – other players, and at 10.4, Costa is difficult to bring in now as a poor soul such as myself who still has Ibrahimovic in my squad. Maybe the question, well, not maybe, the question I'm asking myself is Lukaku or Diego Costa, do I bring in?
Yeah. I think I would bring in, well, I would bring in Costa because I like the fixtures more for Chelsea long term. They play Everton and Middlesbrough the next 2 game weeks, both good fixtures. And they have Spurs and Man City back to back. But after that, they go on a run of 5 fantastic fixtures: West Brom, Sunderland, Crystal Palace, Bournemouth, and Stoke. All of those are captainable fixtures, right? Fixtures where you could safely captain Hazard or Costa in any of those matches.
Yeah.
And they don't have Champions League commitments. They don't have Europa League commitments. There's no reason why he's not going to play. And the downside is eventually he's going to get that 5th yellow card.
Yeah.
And you're going to lose him for a week. But that's just I think it's worth the risk.
Yeah. I don't know. They're virtually identical in my mind right now. Like I think about Lukaku looked so good over the weekend. He was dribbling through that entire West Ham team. And then I look at Costa and he scored one of the goals of the weekend. Just that beautiful peach of a curler. Yeah, I guess it does come down to the fixtures. So maybe it is Costa, but it's just like a toss up for me.
Yeah, totally. I mean, he's leading the league in goals. I mean, there's no reason not to. It's just the way it's worked out. I mean, I put my eggs in the Charlie Austin basket instead of Costa when I could have moved Ibra to Costa, you know, very easily, and I'm certainly regretting it a little bit now. But you know, I still feel good about Austin long term. So, yeah, there's your Chelsea discussion, Brandon. Lots to think about. Don't let it ever be said that we didn't talk about Chelsea on this podcast.
we see you, Chelsea.
All right. So we're going to take a quick break, and then we've got a lot of transfer talk questions. We're going to do it lightning round style. We're going to blast through them. It's going to be intense. It's going to be fast. I need more beer, I think.
All right.
Same old podcast, always cheating.
transfer talk, Brandon. I've broken it down into a few different categories. First category is defense. Alex Waterbaby says, what about defense, boys? Budgets we should spend, must-haves, clean sheets of the next several game weeks. Would be great to hear your thoughts.
This is a tough one because there are no long-term bets as far as defense, as far as I can tell. I mean, Spurs have a tremendous defense, but they've got the North London Derby coming up, and they have Chelsea 2 weeks after that. Their fixtures pick up incredibly well when we get closer to the festive period.
You know what player I'd love to have for the next 5 or 6 game weeks is Christian Fuchs.
Yeah.
He has been in great attacking form, and Leicester play West Brom, away to Watford, home to Middlesbrough, away to Sunderland in the next 4 fixtures.
It's true. I mean, that goal he scored 2 weekends ago was incredible. But yeah, Leicester looks like they're finally getting a little bit of their mojo back. I think we'll know more after they play their Champions League fixture this week.
But. Yeah, it was a well-fought 1-1 draw for Leicester. I mean, they have to be pretty happy about that. I mean, that is they felt like the Leicester of old a little bit. Yeah.
All right, I'm going to go out on a limb and say it's finally time to bring your eyes back to John Stones. So he has been a whipping boy for this entire season, but he got his first clean sheet last weekend, and I think it was his first clean sheet. Anyway, he ended up with 7 points, and City just have a great run coming up: Middlesbrough, Crystal Palace, Burnley, until they get to Chelsea in game week 14. And I can see it coming together for them. This Pep team was not going to be a laughingstock for very long, and I think once they get it right, they'll have it right for a while.
Yep, I think that's a good pick. I think that Spurs are a team that you can continue to look at. It seems like they play everybody pretty tough, and they're in kind of a it's like a back and forth run the next few game weeks. They have the North London Derby obviously next weekend, but then they have West Ham and Swansea at home in 2 of the next 3 fixtures. So, I do like Kyle Walker for this. I mean, how do you feel as a Kyle Walker owner? It's been a little rough the last couple of game weeks.
I mean, it is
frustrating, I should say. Not rough exactly, but like lots of late goals and second half goals.
Yeah, I mean, he miraculously got a bonus point to give me 3 over the weekend. I'm fine with it. I am a little concerned about Kyle Walker and this rough patch of fixtures that I mentioned when we kicked off this segment. Like, to play Kyle Walker against Arsenal over the weekend, I really have no idea. I mean, my defense is really kind of, I don't have a rotation for this weekend. I've got Mustafi and Walker heading into a heated North London derby. Now, granted, one of those guys, or frankly, both of them could keep a clean sheet, but I doubt it. There's always going to be yellow cards in a heated rivalry like that.
Yeah.
And that Chelsea fixture, it's away at Stamford Bridge in game week 13. I can't expect anything from that. Away to Old Trafford in 15. I think if you're not invested in Spurs right now, I think just lay off until we get to closer to the festive fixture period where it does really pick up.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Yeah, I guess.
What about Liverpool? So Liverpool have a great run of fixtures. It's just insane how incapable they are.
If you are bringing in Liverpool defenders, you are only bringing them in for their attacking potential. I mean, they cannot keep it. They can't defend set pieces. They give up crazy fluky goals. I mean, Alberto Moreno picking up a bonus point is one of the more outright. I mean, it's not that it wasn't technically accurate, but just the fact that the system is set up that a player who played that badly on defense in that match. I mean, I watched the whole 90. He was awful. Other than that assist he picked up in the 20th minute or whatever. It was ridiculous.
The commentary picked up on it and that he looked great the first half when it was like a lot of Liverpool getting forward. He looked sensational until he was asked to defend. And then right. He looked absolutely awful.
I mean, that the whole defense is just a complete joke. And it's amazing that 2 of their defenders scored goals. But I would not be investing in that Liverpool defense. They just can't keep clean sheets. Yeah. I mean, you know, Burnley is a team that you might want to look at. I mean, they play Crystal Palace at home, game week 11. They play West Brom away. Then they've got Bournemouth at home, game week 15. Stoke away, game week 14. So they do have a Man City fixture there, but four out of the next five are pretty good.
All right, Andrew Ferguson asks, surely we will be taking money out of defense now and spreading it around clean sheets near impossible to predict whilst the premium mids and strikers are smashing it. I mean, what I say to Andrew is, it's true the clean sheets are impossible to predict, but it's not that the mids and strikers are impossible to predict likewise, but they're all smashing it. Every single one of them are smashing it at the moment.
Yeah.
So it's less,
high and low.
I don't even know who to pick.
Yeah.
And so, I would never argue to just take all the money out of your defense, because I think that's where a lot of my points have been coming from the last few weeks. De Gea, clean sheet. Ashley Williams came through with a clean sheet for me.
Yeah, I mean, the North London clubs didn't do it this weekend. You know, Arsenal and Spurs both gave up goals. But, you know, I mean, those teams have had several clean sheets. You know, was it five of the first 10 they've had clean sheets? And I think Chelsea just joined them this weekend. So, you know, I think that the clean sheet, we're starting to figure out who can play pretty good defense. And I think, you know, as you said, maybe Man City is finally figuring it out a little bit. I'm not totally convinced, because, I mean, West Brom, you know, they're just not a that is a game where they really should keep a clean sheet.
All right. We briefly touched on their defense, but the next question is about Liverpool. George Allen asks, is having Bobby and Philippe, meaning Firmino and Coutinho, I assume, at Liverpool too much?
No, definitely not.
That's a trick question.
Yeah. I mean, you must be really feeling kind of frustrated right now, Brendan, having Lallana. I mean, just given what you're seeing from Firmino and Coutinho right now.
Yeah. It's less frustration having Lallana and more that I'm doubled up on Arsenal midfield with, I mean, Walcott was a bit of a fluke this weekend because he didn't play, but Ozil and Walcott versus Firmino and Coutinho right now, it looks like Liverpool is going to run away with it. So I do feel bummed about that.
Nicholas O said, I might finally be recognizing the need for Liverpool and midfielder. Who do I go for if I have money for any of them, or should I keep Son? I would go for Coutinho, and you know, there have been times when I've been a little less than enthusiastic about Coutinho, but just seeing the way that he played over the weekend, I mean, he's throwing it. I mean, his crosses are unbelievable. Like the corners that he was sending in were fantastic. And it just seems like he's doing a little bit of everything now. And it's like, he's taken off his shooting boots a little bit, maybe. Yeah. Although he almost had a great header in that match. But it seems like he's getting everybody else involved. And he really looks like a fantastic, like a complete player right now. Like he's so good that like you could see him moving to a bigger club at the end of the season. Not that Liverpool aren't a big club, but you know, you could see him going to, you know, Real Madrid or something like that if he keeps it up.
I agree. The way Firmino is playing in that system is his movement is crucial, but it's not crucial that Firmino actually touches the ball.
Right.
He's so active up front that he's, you know, on a good day for me, it makes Lallana able to get into the box. But any way you slice it, Coutinho will always be touching the ball in that play. And if he's not striking it, he's looking for the assist. It's got to be Coutinho.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, really, I think you could go ahead and have two.
Now, Simon on Twitter asks a very funny question. Where do we stand on Sturridge? Is there any doubt about Sturridge at this point that this guy's career at Liverpool is over?
Pretty much. I mean, this guy is going to go play for – what's his next club? If you had to predict the next club for Daniel Sturridge, what would you pick?
I mean, he'd look pretty good at West Ham right now.
West Ham, would West Ham really bring in another injury-prone striker?
That's a very good point. They've already got Andy Carroll. It's a very good point. I mean,
what about if Newcastle got promoted? Wouldn't that be cool if Newcastle brought in Daniel Sturridge?
Listen, Newcastle's going to get promoted on the shoulders of Mitrovic, and they're going to ride him all the way to the Premier League title.
Yeah, or Dwight Gale, who scored like 27 goals.
Maybe, I could see that. I could see him going and being the big cheese at a promoted club next season. I don't know.
You ever heard the expression, like someone rose to the level of their incompetence?
Yeah.
I think that Dwight Gale has descended to the level of his competence. That man was made to score goals in the championship.
I mean, Swansea, they have a bit of a striker issue there.
I don't think they can afford him, though.
It's true. I mean, I think Sturridge is obviously he's been a great striker at Liverpool in seasons past. He's got a bit of a gift, but he needs to exist within a very narrow system that suits him. Otherwise, and this is what happened to him at Chelsea, he's out.
Yeah, I mean, he helps if he's with a super creative attacking player like Luis Suarez, it makes him look, but who doesn't look good next to a guy like Luis Suarez, right? Okay, quick, I don't even know what you call this exactly.
Diversion?
Diversion. Mahesh says, name your top three TV shows ever.
Okay.
Let's not spend too long on this.
Yeah. So TV shows. All right. This is getting personal. This is sort of behind the curtain. What are we, me and Josh, about in our real lives?
We know we both have the same number one. So let's just put that out there.
Well, I thought about this in terms of like favorite shows that I would actually go back and rewatch. And if I think about my favorite shows that I want to watch again, they're all comedies. Like I'm a fan of like all the big dramas like Breaking Bad and The Wire and all that. But I think about my favorite comedy shows that I would love to watch again and again forever, and it's Eastbound and Down. It's Seinfeld, which I basically quote Seinfeld on a daily basis.
Yeah, if Seinfeld is not your number one, I'd be stunned.
And I promise I'm not just trying to cater to our British listeners, but Peep Show is one of my all-time favorites.
Peep Show's out there for me, too. I might go Seinfeld, Peep Show, and The Simpsons. Now, you're not as big a Simpsons fan as I am, but having this one-month-old baby now in the house, I just walk around with her singing like Simpsons songs, like these these little songs from The Simpsons, like See My Vest and Baby on Board, which is from when they were a barbershop quartet, and they're like perfect little like 90-second nuggets. They're perfect for trying to get a baby to fall asleep. So let's just move on from there. Peep Show, Seinfeld, and then one other one.
If you haven't seen Eastbound and Down and you're a big sports fan, I mean, speaking of washed out athletes, like Daniel Sturridge will be at some point in his life. It's a fantastic show.
Yeah, and just trust that we're also the kind like we've seen The Wire and Breaking, you know, all the stuff you have to see.
Sure, I think Mad Men would probably be my favorite dramatic show.
Yeah, I'm not as high end Mad Men as you are. All right, just a few questions in general transfer talk. James McCauley says, Hull have not scored a point since benching Jakubovic. Coincidence? Use the power of the pod to get him starting again.
Okay, Josh, let's hold hands and let's think really hard about. Here's how I cosmically think we'll get Jakubovic back into the lineup. So the new planet that was introduced in the most recent Star Wars movie, The Force Awakens, was Jakku. So if we think about how successful that movie was, pretty successful movie, I think that Jakubovic should be equally successful. I think he will come into the lineup in the next 4 weeks.
Okay, like the timed with the release of the new
with the
Star
release
Wars.
Of the Death Star movie. Yeah, I don't know. I think you probably need to sell Jakubovic at this point.
James McCauley says, "I knew better than to trust a spud." Now I don't know if he meant to say spur and that was a typo or
I think that's the nomenclature in certain areas.
I knew better than to trust a spud, but did it anyway and got burnt. Son plus $1 million in the bank. Where do I look? You look to Liverpool. You bring in either a Liverpool midfielder or another Liverpool midfielder. I do not think having two is too many.
Yeah, I do feel bad. I mean, when you were away on your paternity leave, Josh, that was the height of Son madness. And we sort of fell hook, line, and sinker. He looked so good in that team. And it is an interesting case study in how there are players like this every season that just sort of dip in and out.
Yeah, yeah. Starting 11 says, hey, Hail Cheaters, which big names are most likely to not get 90 minutes this weekend after playing in the Champions and Europa League? The only team that really sticks out to me – well, okay – Leicester, I think, doesn't really – count here because no one really has their players anymore.
Yeah.
I think that Man City is the concern, and we talked about this a little bit earlier.
Yeah, I am a little worried about Aguero's rotation because, you know, as we got really high on Aguero after that West Brom match, and we're like, he's back. But no, the reason we were so down on him was we saw a little bit of rotation, we saw a little bit of concern in how Pep wanted to play him, and I don't want us to go from 0 to 60 and then crash the car immediately after that.
Yeah, I think if he plays in Barcelona and you know, and he plays well, I don't mean to totally sow the fear that he's not going to start in that match. I mean, I think that what's more likely to happen is that he plays like 62 minutes or something like that. You know, he comes out there and Pep just wants him to like stay in form, you know, smash Middlesbrough, like make sure they don't have a shot, you know, and then you know, they'll go up like 4-0 or 4-1 or something like that. And then he'll go out in the 62nd minute, and then Nolito will come on and vulture two goals like in the 88th minute.
I mean, let's not forget, it wasn't like Man City was in scorching league form before West Brom. They were struggling, and the league is still a huge concern for Pep and that team. And you're absolutely right. They need to smash Middlesbrough. They need to continue to make big statements in the league while they're getting chased by Liverpool and Chelsea, who don't have European commitments.
Yes,
so
I
do have faith that Aguero stays in the rotation, but it's the midfielders, like you were saying, that's Sterling and the rest of that rotating cast that could be concerns. I'm watching Walcott because unlike you, I still have him in my midfield. And it looks like he's not going to travel for Champions League, which presumably means he plays in the derby come the weekend.
Yes, I would think so. I mean, you know how it is with an Arsenal player. I mean, these little, you know, minor injuries suddenly turn into, you know, 2 months on the bench. So,
yeah, but there's no way that Wenger isn't playing Alexis Sanchez and Mesut Ozil against Spurs on the weekend. So,
Defensive
rotation, not really a thing.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, our Wenger in general plays his best 11 when he can. I mean, I guess he's been playing Kieran Gibbs a little bit in these Champions League matches. But the question now is whether Giroud starts to crack that rotation a little bit too. Martin Ure on Twitter said, "Am I totally crazy thinking about replacing Ibra instead of Costa with Giroud?" Now, I don't. At this point, replacing Ibra with anybody is not crazy at all. It's a totally reasonable thing to do.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not sure Martin fully articulated himself here.
He might, and I might be misunderstanding him, but I think that Giroud is not a player I necessarily would bring in yet because I'm not even sure that he's going to start.
Yeah,
I mean, even though he scored those two goals,
yeah,
he doesn't quite fit that team right now, and I don't know. So we'll see.
It is absolute insanity with Ibrahimovic right now. It is freaking insane. I mean, we don't need to discuss the type of form that he's in. I cannot get rid of this guy. They're coming up against Swansea on the weekend. And I've got this Deeney thing that I promised my board of directors that I get them out of after a week. I've got a Capu situation going on.
Who does Watford play?
They play Liverpool. So I guess
you can keep Deeney for that.
Yeah. But I know Ibra against Swansea versus say Costa and Lukaku against each other.
Right.
It's a strange one. I mean, it's crazy to recommend sitting on Ibra.
Yeah, I don't know. That is a tough one.
So for Martin, I think that we might be leaning toward maybe just sit tight for one more week, most particularly with Giroud to see what happens with the rotation.
Nick Wright says, if Rebin and Austin is too much Southampton, which one do you prefer? I'd like to get one in for Bolasie or Benteke. And Redmond, I owned him. He's a streaky player, and he's looked a little better the last couple game weeks. But I would keep Bolasie. I mean, I don't understand the rush to get rid of Bolasie because he's a funny player. I mean, he's so he just plays with so much energy, and he almost once he got the assist on that Lukaku goal, it was like he was like a kid with too much sugar.
Yeah, he kept losing possession off on the touchline, and he sort of unraveled.
But he's a great player, and I mean, I'm really impressed with velocity so far this season. I mean, even from like a non-fantasy point of view, I just love the way that he fits into that team. And so I think that Benteke to Austin is a great move. Southampton's fixtures are about to get a bit kinder. It's still a little mixed, but you know, they're away to Hull in game week 11.
I expect that's what Nick is thinking about. And you know, word of caution, I fell into this hole with my Watford transfer over the weekend, and I mean Southampton and Watford are different teams altogether, and Southampton has a lot of quality there, and you'd expect them to do a little better against Hull, but still, I wouldn't go rearranging your team just to face up Southampton against Hull.
Yeah. Brandon, that's it. Let's do a quick game week 11 preview, and then let's get out of here.
Let's optimize for game week 11.
Step into the optimizer.
Question from Jeff Petter. Easy question this week. Give your predictions for next week's AC Showstoppers matchup between Josh and myself.
Yeah, I took an L this game week. I'm at 4-6. It's actually pretty tightly packed right now. 5-4 was enough to crack the top 10. So I was at 4-5 going to this game week. I lost this week. I'm going to predict that Jeff beats me. I don't really know why I'd even set myself up to say that I'm going to beat him. Jeff, I'm sure you're going to win. And if I happen to pull it out, that's a happy little gift for me.
I think you're going to beat Jeff's ass this game week.
Yeah, like 60 points.
Yeah, I'm not doing so hot myself in the AC Showstoppers League. I dropped out of the top 10 now. I'm 5-1-4, and I took an L to George Haas over the weekend, and I've got Jason Hicks coming up. So Jason, I'm coming for you.
Transfer plans this game week, Brandon. You're talking about dropping the great Brazilian Troidini. Is that still on the table?
Actually, I think it might be the Brazilian Capoue. Dini, I mean we were kind of joking about, well, Watford is playing Liverpool, and if all the mates on Watford that might score against Liverpool, I think it's Dini. I mean, I could see if Moreno gets to start again for Liverpool, him hacking somebody down in the box.
Sure.
I mean, okay.
So Capoue to Joe Allen is a move that makes sense.
Yeah. I'm really debating burning four on a transfer, and I could turn Capoue into Capoue. I am not getting on the Capoue bandwagon. No, it's Capoue. Oh,
I thought you were gonna burn four and then turn him into himself. Like what a move.
Yeah, Maverick. That would be the ultimate sign of power if you were just burning points to transfer a guy out and then back in. Now I consider burning four to turn Capoue into a proper fourth midfielder, like a Gundogan or Victor Moses, even, I don't know. Or Walcott has to turn into a Liverpool midfielder. Hmm. And that would also require two transfers, because I need to downgrade Dini to somebody. Hey, here, maybe what I need to do is downgrade Dini back to Sam Vokes.
Just, yeah, go on. I think you should still burn four to turn Capoue into Capoue. But
what the long-term plan here, though, is Ibra just keeps getting a stay of execution, and I think I want to hold on to Ibra to see what happens in that Swansea match. I mean, yeah. LOL, Ibra stinks. He's just like, or he has terrible luck, one or the other. But I think I need to hang on to Ibra for one more week, and there the money will come from Ibra. So I don't want to go messing with my budget too much until I drop Ibra. So okay. I think it's just centered on Capoue at the moment, with the assumption that Walcott's healthy going into the weekend.
Okay, I like that. I think my move is probably, I think I am going to go Sterling to Hazard. And I'm still a little on the fence about it. I guess it just depends on what happens in this Barcelona match midweek. And I'm going to wait until after the Champions League matches are over. I'm really hoping that Charlie Austin does not play in the Europa League match for Southampton. He hasn't been playing in these matches.
He played a full 90 over the weekend.
It was a good sign. So yeah. But if he played the full 90 in the Europa League, there's no way he might not even start at away to Hull. So I'm hoping that he doesn't play, stays healthy. I'm sure Ben Dinnery is going to like list like three injured players for me on Friday. So we'll see what happens. I think Antonio is my Ibrahimovic who might somehow get another stay of execution, despite how frustrating he's been. What about clean sheets, Brandon? What's your clean sheet pick?
Before we move on to clean sheets, I want to talk to you about this Chelsea-Everton matchup. I mean, Chelsea is the form team, and Everton, they do have a few weak spots. How do you see Hazard matching up against that Everton team?
Well, I'm not blown away by Everton's defense, to be totally honest with you. And, you know, I mean, it's a little unsettled at the moment anyway. I mean, they're sort of, you know, Jagielka, is he in that squad? I mean, he's kind of, you know, he came on as a sub in their match of the weekend. And I mean, you know, I think, I don't know, they still don't have Baines. I mean, I think that could be a problem. I mean, we saw how well Chelsea played against a team that didn't have, you know, two particularly strong fullbacks. And I'm not sure that I feel that great about, I mean, you know, I mean, I love Seamus Coleman, but he's more of an attacking fullback than a defensive fullback. So
I mean, Coleman made some really great recovery tackles over the weekend. And I thought Oviedo looked bright. You know,
I feel like West Ham was unlucky not to score two or three in that match.
Yeah.
I mean, they had a couple really good goals. I mean, Robles, who randomly got the start, had a fantastic match. And, you know, if it wasn't for him, I think they would have scored one or two goals.
Yeah, I think you're right there. All right, clean sheet. So hear me now. I predicted that Man City would get a clean over the weekend against West Brom. And I'm going with Crystal Palace, who is playing at Turf Moor over the weekend, but I do believe they can prevent Burnley from scoring.
That's an unreal pick. I can't. Burnley's going to score like three goals in that match.
You think so? Why?
I have no faith in that Crystal Palace defense right now. They're terrible.
And the Burnley offense is in like scorching form.
They're better at home. I mean, they did beat Liverpool 2-0 earlier this season.
All right. So.
I'm gonna go with Southampton away to Hull City. I think that's
a mess. Such a maverick pick.
It's a little maverick. I didn't pick like Man United or something.
Fair enough. All right. So captaincy choices. Perhaps we'll meet minds here. We won't meet eyes. Okay. It's a little too romantic.
Yeah, I'm gonna go. I'm planning to captain Aguero, and I'll probably vice captain Charlie Austin.
Yeah, Aguero for me too. I don't really see. So we go from not knowing what to do with Aguero, then immediately finding ourselves in a situation where we can't not captain him again.
Yeah, I mean, I think Coutinho at home is, you know, against anybody right now is a pretty good captain choice.
Yeah,
right. I mean, Watford has a pretty good defense, so it's not a sure thing. But I'm sure Liverpool will score a couple goals in that match.
I'm really struggling, like I said earlier, having doubled up on Arsenal in my midfield. The derby is so unpredictable. You know, either team could come out wildly ahead.
Yeah.
In that match, I mean, Arsenal does have the home field advantage, so that could point toward somebody like Sanchez having a really exciting match. But I don't know.
What about Darun? Is he a maverick captain choice for this game week?
Darun isn't quite maverick enough for me.
You want to? It's Kapoue. It's the -4. It's Kapoue is going to be your captain, right?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. No, it's got to be a goal captain. It's got to be a goalkeeper captaincy to be maverick in my mind. So, Guy Yedwab, if you're out there listening, this one's for you.
Maybe Jakubovic. You know, really, really try to make it happen.
Oh, speaking of Guy Yedwab, I have to give a shout out to him and his podcast, Moment of Magic, which I was a guest on last week, where I discussed my favorite football moments of magic. So you can find that podcast on iTunes and SoundCloud and listen to me wax poetic about what it means to be a fan.
Yeah, I like Guy's Twitter feed a lot too. He's very funny on Twitter. I think he's Moment of Magic Pod on Twitter.
Yes, I think we can agree that Guy is a cool dude, and I think we can also agree, Josh, that we've come to the end of our podcast.
We have. Subscribe to us on iTunes. If you'd like, please leave us a review. Find us on SoundCloud. You can follow us on SoundCloud too, which I think actually helps us. There's some sort of SoundCloud recommendation metric that I'm now seeing, and helps us to continue to grow our audience. So please find us there. And
the bigger we are, the better we are, which is good for you.
Well, it makes it easier somehow for us to do this every week. I'll say that much. Stitcher, we're on there. We're on Google Play, Acast, and TuneIn, all various networks. So if you hate iTunes, and I'm certainly getting there myself, there's a lot of other places to find us.
Yeah, TuneIn's cool because it's a streaming service. And I mean, I guess it's cool. I don't know. Check it out if you're interested.
Yeah.
Speaking of checking things out, follow us on social media. We're on Twitter all the time, at Hail Cheaters. Also find us on Facebook, where you can see that cool Richard Maynard Photoshop. We're not giving the secret away. That's facebook.com/alwayscheating. And you can send us email at hailcheaters@gmail.com. You can find all that contact information on our website, alwayscheating.com, where our league code is. And you can still join our Hail Cheaters Super League, which we're now like close to 1,200 managers there, which is incredible.
I think we've crossed over. Yeah, it's fantastic.
So there you have it. I wish you good luck in game week 11, Josh.
Yeah, same to you, Brandon. It was fun to tie with you this game week. Let's make sure it doesn't happen again, though. One tie a season.
Yeah, let's admit it, that tying is just completely unsatisfying.
It is. Well, we grew up as American sports fans. We're not used to tying.
All right, Josh. Hail Cheaters.
Yep. Praise Poku.
Poku got some love there.
He did. Well, it's been a while.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.